It's a new year, and we wanted to get a sense of where the economy's at. So we called up our colleague, Gwyn Gilford. In one word, how would you describe the economy in 2022?
Confusing.
Okay, so looking at 2023, what do you see?
So 2023 will possibly be even more confusing than 2022.
Last year was confusing because inflation was rocketing up, and yet the economy kept chugging along with low unemployment and rising wages.
So that's confusing. We have all these signs where you can look at them and be like, ooh, yeah, like things are really not good. I mean, inflation's one of them. And also like different labor market indicators. It's just like going through a month of economic indicators is an exercise in a lot of whiplash.
And where you're like, this is good, but it's bad.
Right.
This is bad, but it's good.
Right. There's a lot of internal inconsistency right now. So it is a little bit hard to figure out whether the economy is really as strong as some measures make it look, or really as weak as some measures make it look.
So, what will happen to the economy in 2023? Welcome to The Journal, our show about money, business, and power. I'm Kate Linebaugh. It's Tuesday, January 3rd. Coming up on the show, new year, same confusing economy.
This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
Over the last year, the biggest problem facing the economy was inflation.
No matter how you slice it, the latest inflation numbers today are not good.
Many economists had anticipated that inflation would cool, but the increases have persisted for core items in the family budget.
This is a huge burden for most families, now paying nearly $450 more a month just for the basics than they were a year ago.
Inflation spiked for several reasons, including supply chain bottlenecks and the Russian invasion of Ukraine. Usually, policymakers at the Federal Reserve try to keep inflation at around 2%, meaning prices rise just 2% from one year to the next. But in the middle of 2022, inflation reached 9.1%.
Which is the highest in 40 years. That is alarmingly high. That's really high.
What did the Fed do to address inflation?
They increased rates at a pace that is basically the fastest we've seen, like fastest since the 80s. And, you know, heading into 2022, everyone knew that the Fed was going to start tightening, but they were extremely aggressive getting rates to where they are now.
The Fed raises rates to try to slow inflation. The idea is that higher interest rates make borrowing money more expensive. And that makes people and businesses buy less stuff, which causes prices to fall.
Basically, across the economy, we'd like to slow demand so that it's better aligned with supply, give supply at the same time.
That's Jerome Powell, the chair of the Fed, talking in March after he first started raising interest rates.
And that, over time, should bring inflation down. And I'll say again, though, we don't have a perfect crystal ball about the future. And we're prepared to use our tools as needed to restore price stability.
And because people aren't buying goods and services anymore, and the providers of those goods and services have much less leverage in raising the prices, and so inflation comes down, and, you know, that's the way it's supposed to work.
But the process of bringing inflation down takes time, and it can be painful.
Most workers and consumers have not lived in an era where you have high inflation, in an era where you have high interest rates. And it's, you know, it's a real shift in mentality that people need to make. And it's been extremely jarring.
Our colleague Rachel Wolf has been writing about that shift in consumer mentality. How hard was 2022 for consumers?
Wasn't the best. You know, everybody from your single mom in New Orleans, where I live, to a professional couple living on one of the coasts would say that they were squeezed. We found that inflation really pushed up prices for the things that middle-income consumers are most likely to buy. That's gas, groceries, cars, clothing. And so the purchasing power of this group declined.
When did they really start to notice that inflation was having a major impact on their lives?
You know, it was really the start of 2022 when people started becoming more aware of inflation's effects. You know, we had started seeing it ramp up in 2021, but 2022 was when the chickens really came home to roost. People were used to spending $50 on a meal out before the pandemic. You know, that's up about 20% now. And so that difference between, you know, what something cost when they went into lockdown and what it cost last year when they were getting back to living their lives, I think was really stark for a lot of people.
Yeah, it's quite stark when you're like, oh, okay, this is how much my groceries are going to cost now. Like, it's not changing. It wasn't an anomaly.
Exactly. It's this stubborn, persistent inflation, you know, and that really hit middle-income consumers where it hurt.
Rachel talked to one family in New Jersey about their finances, the DiCicos. Both parents work. The father is a police sergeant and the mother is an executive assistant. They have four kids.
So, you know, they're this middle-class family. They have a house, appliances, two cars, four kids who do all sorts of extracurricular activities. And, you know, before the pandemic, weekly trips to the grocery store for Mr. Chico cost about $200. But on the last trip, the bill hit $378. You know, they make a really solid middle-income wage, and yet they recently had to dip into the mom's 401k to pay their mortgage.
Dipping into your 401k to pay your mortgage feels extreme.
You know, it is extreme, but after over a year of such stubborn inflation, raising four kids and, you know, even making what many would consider a really decent salary, it's still not enough.
In trying to ease the pain of inflation, the Fed has pushed interest rates up to their highest level in 15 years. And in November, those rate hikes started to work.
The good news is that inflation does appear to be slowing. And so if that continues in 2023, it's possible that some of this pressure will dissipate.
But more pain could be ahead. Why? That's coming up. In November, the Consumer Price Index, the CPI, showed that inflation was slowing down, meaning things are still getting more expensive, just not as quickly. But Gwynne says there's another challenge.
There's a new driver emerging, and that is, you know, kind of more old school inflation, which is labor market tightness.
A tight labor market means that unemployment is low and employers have a hard time filling jobs. And that creates what Gwynne calls old school inflation, i.e. rising wages.
The labor market of 2022 was the tightest we've seen in very many decades. The economy added, you know, millions of jobs really fast. Wage gains for leisure and hospitality workers were in the double digits. People who switched jobs were getting huge pay increases. And that was, you know, flowing through to people who were not switching jobs. And, you know, like employers had to kind of swallow that because there just aren't enough workers to meet the demand for all the goods and services that we're buying right now.
Does the Fed see this as a problem?
Yes. The Fed has been talking increasingly about the job openings numbers and what those reflect about this white-hot labor demand that is forcing employers to keep, like, to pay a lot more, keeping wage gains really high, which is in turn fueling, you know, consumer price inflation.
What does the Fed say it's going to do?
Well, the Fed says it's going to tighten, and it has, you know, really aggressively. So it cools labor demand so that consumers stop spending as much as they had, and workers stop having as much bargaining power as they used to, because they can't be like, oh, you won't give me a 10% raise, I'm going to go to this other job. When you have less of that dynamic, maybe they spend less on fire pits or whatever, cars. And those prices can't go up as much, and they cool down. And so that's how it's supposed to work.
But this process of cooling down the labor market could also trigger higher unemployment.
And really, what you're talking about is hiring fewer people and maybe at some point starting to lay them off so that people don't spend as much. And so, you know, companies stop. When it gets more expensive to operate the way they had, they stop hiring, they lay off workers, and those workers, because they don't have a job, or maybe their friends who are scared of losing their jobs now, spend less, they save more, and that reduced demand allows prices to come down.
So the goal is to have people lose their jobs?
I mean, it sounds really crude to put it that way, but when you collapse it and, like, remove all the, you know, and then this happens, and then this happens, and then this happens, yes, that is the ultimate lever you're operating on.
In a December press conference, Powell laid out the government's plan to keep raising interest rates.
Before I go into the details of today's meeting, I'd like to underscore for the American people that we understand the hardship that high inflation is causing, and that we are strongly...
What did Chair Powell say at his presser in December?
He was very hawkish. So he was like, these inflation prints are nice, but, like, you know, we still need to be very vigilant.
The historical record cautions strongly against prematurely loosening policy. We will stay the course until the job is done.
So we have this labor problem where, you know, we're trying to bring supply and demand into balance, but we still aren't totally sure how bad that problem actually is because the data are confusing.
What would a successful 2023 look like from an economic perspective?
So things keep moving in the direction of the October and November CPI reports, and we stop adding jobs at, you know, maybe we add like 100,000 jobs, or, you know, maybe even a little bit fewer than that. Job openings come down, wage growth calms down too, but consumer demand holds up, and maybe businesses start investing a little bit more aggressively, and then, you know, we get through this.
What does an ugly 2023 look like?
Millions of people lose their jobs. Like, businesses freak out, and, like, rates are so high and financial conditions are so tight that they cut jobs to preserve their bottom line, and those people can't find new jobs, and they stop spending, and that builds on itself. It's a classic recession feedback loop.
What do you think we're going to be talking about at the end of 2023?
Oh, Lord.
I'm putting you on the spot.
Okay. If you go with the consensus, which is, like, basically what most economic forecasters think, we're going to be talking about, ooh, this recession. It's uncomfortable, but not as bad as we thought it was going to be. And it'll be over soon. I think there's also decent likelihood that we are talking about what happened to that recession, or the recession is coming in 2024.
Right.
I think it just kicks out a bit.
I'm just sort of hoping we'll be less confused.
Good luck.
That's all for today, Tuesday, January 3rd. The Journal is a co-production of Gimlet and The Wall Street Journal. If you like our show, follow us on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. We're out every weekday afternoon. Thanks for listening. See you tomorrow.